La 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 la.
This is XXBN, XXBN.net. My name is Jill Brenneman. We are powered by Blog Talk Radio, and we are an exclusive service of Swap East, Swap Talk Outreach Project East Media. Today we have a pretty intense show lined up. My guest is Maxine Dugan, and Maxine is responding to commentary by Sage Standing Against Global Exploitation Director Nona O'Talling. Nona made some pretty, well, let's not even say pretty, let's just throw it right against the law. Nona blatantly lied, calling the leader of the decriminalization movement in San Francisco a convicted federal human trafficker, among other things. She did this on KPFA, which I'm assuming is a San Francisco-based, or at least a Bay Area-based station. She said the petition drive is being run by human traffickers, madams, and pimps, just like it was in Berkeley, which is also untrue. This all went out on public airways, and it is the family show, so we'll keep the language within the Blog Talk Radio confines. This is a crock of pieces. My guest, Maxine Dugan. Maxine, welcome.
Hi, good morning, Jill. Having a little trouble understanding you this morning, but I'm calling. I'm over here in your time zone, so that's the exciting news.
For once, you don't have to get up early.
That's right.
Are you having trouble? I'm using the new special optimized headphones, and my guess is that they're not working.
I'm just having a little trouble understanding you, Jill. I can hear you a little bit, and thanks for having me on today. And thank God.
You there?
Oh, now I'm getting the breaking echo. Hello,
Maxine. Can you hear me?
Are you there?
Maxine, can you hear me?
Okay, there you are. I hear you. Well, anyway, we are, thank you for, airing the show, Jill. I think it's so important that, we have, erotic service providers have a way of responding to some of the slanderous remarks and lies that are being put out in the mainstream media in the Bay Area in regards to the First Offender Prostitution Program. And those of us who are the proponents of the current ballot initiative in San Francisco, we're doing a circular.
What's that?
Okay.
I think we have a better connection now.
I'm sorry?
I think we have a better connection.
I'm having a hard. Should I try calling back or?
The problem is on my end. Keep talking. I'm gonna come back.
You want me to keep talking?
Keep talking.
Okay. You know me, Jill. You get me started, and I'll just blither on and on. Because we don't have too many opportunities to to speak to people about, the state of the union for sex industry workers. Mainstream media is not really interested in hearing what the real situation is for us, and that is, we're in a lockout situation where workers are locked out from being able to negotiate for our labor and our work conditions. And so when you see people like the Sage Project in San Francisco, which is a nonprofit that gets money from the city of San Francisco, the state, the federal government, and private grants to to be able to promote their own sex-negative, shame-based agenda to continue to profit off the criminalization of prostitution. You see that that they, you know, don't really want to, you know, have a full-on face-to-face debate with us about what the actual issues are. What we saw in the current media exchange that Sage was able to gain access to because of their privilege is that they get to, you know, call on the media whenever they want to showcase, you know, their own agenda and their own propaganda. And we don't have access to mainstream media, not only to be able to tell the truth about our situation, but to be able to dispute any of the lies that they're currently promoting in the media.
Well, Maxine, can you now hear me?
Yeah.
Outstanding. You know, I wish I could import, I wish I had the capability of importing this commentary by Norma Hotelling, because it's a blatant lie. It's blatantly outrageous. I noticed that she kind of squeezed it in. She kind of gratuitously crushed it in, even as the what's the station named KPFA host was trying to shut it down. You know, just to get her point in, to scare the voters, because her program makes money off of criminalization.
Yeah. Yeah, I noticed in the, you know, both in the KPFA piece, which, you know, KPFA 94.1 FM in Berkeley, California, in the Bay Area, is a progressive radio station. It was started by people who were anti-war, who wanted access to the media to be able to speak about, you know, anti-war positions and what's wrong with going to war. It was started at the end of World War II. It, you know, has always been, KPFA has always been part of the Pacifica Network, which has five other radio stations across the United States. We have a WBAI in New York, which is, you know, where we see Amy Goodman's show, Democracy Now!, being produced out of. And so, you know, KPFA is really a progressive radio station, and for them to be showcasing this nonprofit and this survey that they spoke about on their radio show on Tuesday, which is, you know, promoting the fascist Bush regime party line of oppressing workers and taking away our civil rights, is really quite a shock. You know, basically the show that was featured on the radio KPFA radio station is very similar to what was in print in the Chronicle a couple of days prior to that. The San Francisco Chronicle is the San Francisco newspaper, which is owned by the Hearst Corporation, which has always been an anti-labor, extreme right-wing conservative newspaper. So when you have the conservative print promoting the, you know, the idea of the first offender prostitution program, where people are arrested and, you know, trafficked into these diversion programs, as well as the progressive radio station like KPFA promoting the same, you know, featuring and showcasing the same shame-based, sex-negative, sex-negative, shame-based first offender prostitution program being promoted by the SAGE Project, the nonprofit, which is an extension of the prison industrial complex, one really has to stop and say, you know, what is going on here that this particular nonprofit is being showcased in this range of media, number one. Number two, why are they promoting this survey that was sponsored by the federal government that says that their program is a great thing, that it's a great thing to arrest people for prostitution, that it's a great thing to traffic people into their shame-based sex-negative program where they have to pay to participate. in order to, you know, not be prosecuted and not be, you know, branded, you know, with the burden of an offense of prostitution on one's record. And, you know, so this kind of coercion is being promoted in the conservative media as well as the progressive media as the best that we can do in our society. And it's really just quite an atrocious state of affairs, Jill.
You know, and it surprised me. Well, when I put two and two together and realized KPFA was part of Pacifica, you know, we're talking about a station that was so leftist that it was the first to receive the audio tapes from the Symbionese Liberation Army back in the 70s.
Yep.
And for them to now be, you know, giving us a voice and giving credence to this ultra-right wing program, they, you know, that Roman Hotelling has lined up with the government with significant amounts of federal funding. In listening to this piece, I was astonished that the cost to enter this program, if I understand correctly, the voluntary cost was $1,000 to enter the first offender prostitution program.
Well, I think that, you know, what we saw in both in the print in the San Francisco Chronicle as well as on the KPFA radio piece are a lot of lies made on behalf of not only Norma Hotelling of the SAGE Project about the conditions under which people are trafficked into that diversion program, you know, so that they can get out from under the burden of being prosecuted for prostitution offenses. But we just saw also the survey that was being spoken about in their you know, their radio piece and in the Chronicle piece, the print piece. You know, the survey hasn't even been released to the public. So to be promoting the survey as evidence that forcing people into the first offender prostitution program is the best that we can do as a society around prostitution, where we don't want anybody arrested for prostitution. We don't want the workers arrested, and we don't want our customers arrested, is really, you know, part of how the prison industrial complex promotes itself, and how the Bush administration and the federal government who backed this study were able to, you know, promote the prison industrial complex's agenda, which is, you know, to keep everybody criminal, keep everybody under control, keep everybody silenced, so that the stigma of the negative association and the negative stigma associated with prostitution, that people who are involved in that or who get caught up in that, you know, will not speak out about the injustice, will not speak out about the stripping of the civil rights that goes on in attending the diversion program, where you have to essentially give up your right to due process in America. And, you know, that it's really up to the SAGE Project and to the police to say, you know, that you've been redeemed and you've been, you know, good enough so that you can have this criminal offense removed from your record. And, you know, the idea that, you know, KPFA was involved in that, I really appreciate that, you know, you were able to put out on the Bound Not Gagged blog about, you know, the call to action for activists to, you know, call that radio station and tell them that they did a huge disservice. And it's bad journalism to, you know, feature this extremely one-sided self-promotion of this nonprofit, which is an extension of the prison industrial complex, and not be able to show, you know, really what the opposition is, and really what the state of affairs is for people who are arrested for prostitution, and how people like the SAGE Project and the police department and the district attorney's office end up profiting off the criminalization of prostitution. And, you know, we saw that in the Chronicle, too, where they featured this article that promoted SAGE and promoted this survey that promotes SAGE and promotes the First Offender Prostitution Program and the whole idea of arresting customers, and somehow arresting our customers is good for us, taking, you know, the money that our customers would generally be giving to us and diverting it through the prison industrial complex to, you know, pay for the salaries of the police and the district attorney and the SAGE project people. And so we saw the Chronicle run a concurrent article, a separate article that was done by sex worker activists who opposed the First Offender Prostitution Program and pointed out what's wrong with criminalizing our customers. But, you know, when you run those arguments separately and not together, it really does a disservice to people, because you might have somebody listening or reading the one side, but without the critical thinking involved of what's wrong and who is in opposition to these ideas and to these programs.
Well, and after listening to the KPFA, you know, they tried to present it as though, you know, my sense was they were trying to present it as this great revolutionary method to advance social justice, and it just strikes me this is a money making operation, you know, for SAGE, which is Standing Against Global Exploitation, for law enforcement in the Bay Area. You know, I did you know offhand how many attendees and how often these classes run?
How many what?
Do you know how many men typically are in these First Offender Prostitution?
Well, that's a really good question, Jill, and we have been asking those questions of the First Offender Prostitution Program, which is run through the San Francisco District Attorney's Office, who contracts with the SAGE Project about, and the police department as well. How many people are you arresting? How many people are going through the DA's First Offender Prostitution Program? How many people are being trafficked into the SAGE Project to pay the SAGE Project in order to attend, in order to, you know, not be subjected to the shame-based, sex-negative stigma of having a prostitution arrest? And the way we ask those questions in San Francisco is through the Sunshine Ordinance. In San Francisco, we have an ordinance called the Sunshine Ordinance, which says that all departments in the city, as well as nonprofits, have to be transparent in the way that they conduct their business, and that any member of the public can come forward and ask those kinds of questions of how many people are we talking about. And the SAGE Project has never responded to our request for public information, and therefore they're in violation of the Sunshine Ordinance Task Force. And our next step is, as activists, is to file a complaint against the SAGE Project and the police department for not being transparent. The police have handed over certain documents, and those documents are actually listed on the erotic service provider's website. Our website address is espu-ca.org, and under the petition drive, you can see the link there to the signature petition drive that we're doing right now in San Francisco to qualify for the November ballot to put before voters to stop the enforcement of the prostitution laws and bring equal protection under the law to sex workers. You can see a link to the documentation page for the petition, and you can see a link for the First Offender Prostitution Program. And in that link, you can see all the documents that we have been provided so far through the Sunshine Ordinance in San Francisco. One of the things you can see on there is the order of determination that the Sunshine Ordinance Task Force found, had a hearing and found the District Attorney's Office in violation of turning over documents that are eligible for public viewing under the Sunshine Ordinance in regards to the First Offender Prostitution Program. It looks like the District Attorney's Office did not keep stayed within the confines of their contract, which is to provide monthly reporting and annual reporting on who, on the, you know, basic question of who's attending and how many people are attending the diversion and how many people are being arrested and how many people are choosing diversion. So they were found in violation by the Sunshine Ordinance Task Force through a complaint that we filed. And that's some of the hard work that we do as activists is, you know, we find, and as labor rights organizers, is, you know, we work to expose the hypocrisy. We work to expose the conflict of interest where you have a city worker that works for the district attorney's office, Tim Sillard, who sits on Sage's board, and he sits on Sage's board as their treasurer. And, you know, and here, you know, you have a city worker who is sitting on a nonprofit's board who is receiving monies through his city department. You know, in addition to that, Sage has Andrea Schwarter, who is a commissioner for the Commission on the Status of Women here in San Francisco, sitting on the Sage board as well. And Andrea works for the Department of Juvenile Justice. And the Sage Project receives city contracts from the Department of Juvenile Justice. So, you know, this is a real place here where activists can really start to expose the hypocrisy and expose how it is that these city workers who sit on these nonprofit boards get to promote their shame-based, sex-negative agenda, so they in turn, you know, can all profit off the criminalization of prostitution, that they can all get their wages, you know, negotiated for and their benefits negotiated for. But yet as a class of workers, we are not able to do that. And that's, you know, that's an unfair business practice. And it's unethical and it's immoral for the city to be involved and to allow its city workers to be involved in that. And that's really the kind of stuff that KPFA ought to be exposing, you know, listeners to, is this continued level of hypocrisy that our U.S. government, our fascist U.S. government, is involved in right now. And only when we as activists and as workers stand up and demand transparency, and we demand accountability, and we demand democracy. That's the only way you're going to get democracy. It's not going to be handed to us on a silver platter.
If you would like to join in, you're on HBO at 646-231-36, you can also join in by chat at xxbn.net. We'd love to take your questions. My guest is Maxine Dugan. My name is Jill Brenneman. You know, Maxine, I keep going back to how much of a cash cow this is. At $1,000 a head, you know, I don't know how many people in the class, but if we estimated 30 in the class, but that's $30,000 in that shot.
Yes, it's a lot of money, Jill, and one of the misstatements that I heard Norma Hotaling make on KPFA is that that people didn't have to pay to attend the First Offender Prostitution program. And I found that statement to be astounding because it's the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco who have mandated what those fees are. And, you know, the minimum fee is, I think it's $500, and it is on a sliding scale for people who choose, you know, to waive their right to due process and go to the diversion program. The fees are as high as $1,000, and actually I'm looking online on our site right now. You can see the San Francisco Board of Supervisor resolution on the fees, and, you know, I don't know who Norma, you know, Hotaling thinks that she is, that she can, you know, say, well, people don't have to pay to go to the First Offender Prostitution Program when clearly, you know, it's not even her decision. Or maybe it is her decision to say who gets paid, how much they have to pay on the sliding fee scale, and, you know, if that's the case, then we have the director of the First Offender Prostitution Program being acting in a godlike way about, you know, how much people get to pay. And if that's the case, then, you know, that's the point of corruption that we start to see. We see arbitrary enforcement. We see arbitrary, you know, unequal prosecution under the law, and we see unequal protection under the law. And that's one of the things that we talk about in our petition, in our initiative that we're trying to qualify for the ballot in November in San Francisco. We specifically talk about how it is that, you know, people like Norma Hotelling, you know, who's in cahoots with the police department and the district attorney's office, get to arbitrarily enforce these fees and these fines and define who gets to pay and who doesn't have to pay. I mean, what if you gave the Sage Project or Norma Hotelling, you know, $100 bill and said, oh, well, here, you can keep this money, and just don't, you know, make me pay the $1,000 fine. Or you can say to the police, well, here, I'll perform an act of oral sex on you if you don't issue me that citation. So, you know, this is the problem for, you know, democracy, when you have all these points of, you know, of unequal enforcement. And, you know, when you have groups like the Sage Project and the District Attorney's Office who have not been transparent about how many people and how much money, you know, they've got being trafficked through their program, you know, you really, as taxpayers and as concerned citizens, you have to demand that transparency. You have to demand that, and the Board of Supervisors has actually done some of that. They have mandated that the budget analyst's office do perform an audit on the First Offender Prostitution Program. And I think that's one of the reasons why we're seeing Sage launch this media campaign, is because they are they're not in compliance with the terms of their own contract with the District Attorney's Office for the First Offender Prostitution Program. And the District Attorney's Office, in turn, is not holding that nonprofit Sage accountable for the terms and conditions of the contract it has with them in their reporting. And that's why I think that you know, we need to fight all the harder to demand this transparency, to demand the numbers, and to have all those questions asked. And I just found it very telling at the end of the KPFA piece where Norma Hotelling calls the Board of Supervisors in San Francisco pimps. And I just had to roll on the floor about it, because it would be just like someone who doesn't want to be held accountable to start in with this name-calling business, right? Because when you call us names, you know, you take on the elite, you know, privilege to label people and to start in with the name-calling, because you don't really want to address the issues. And that's always been that particular group, that anti-prostitution group's tactic, is to be engaged in the defining of the words of the, and then in turn doing the name calling in order to discredit its detractors and the taxpayers who want to hold that group accountable.
Well, and it seems like it's a never ending sweep, you know, and the terminology of course of today, because of the Trafficking Victims Protection Act, of course, is that everyone now is suddenly, anyone in opposition to these anti-prostitution organization initiatives and organizations, suddenly we're all traffickers, and we're all human traffickers.
I have to laugh so hard about that, Jill, because here, you know, Norma Hotelling and the Melissa Farleys, you know, all those nonprofits who have received money from the federal government to promote the fascist government party line around sex, have been the ones to go in and legislate in the Trafficking Victims Protection Act. I think it was in the 2003 reauthorization of that act that defines all people involved in commercial sex as victims, right? So So we're all mandated as being called victims by the federal government, you know, and we're all being called trafficked victims. Anybody who's involved in commercial sex, that's prostitutes, that's, you know, if you're a $200 an hour prostitute or a $2,000 an hour or $20 an hour service provider, or you do porn, or you work in, you know, webcam performer, you're all classified as a sex traffic victim under the government's Trafficking Victim Protection Act. And then, in turn, it turns out that we're all actual traffickers, and we're all pimps, and we're all, you know, all these other names. So, you know, it really works for the sex-negative, shame-based movement to, you know, classify, you know, to name us and then turn around and use those names in a derogatory way. When you look at the real definitions of some of those words, for example, the word pimp in California, if you look under the criminal statute, the word pimp is anybody who has received any benefit from any of the earnings of a prostitute. Now, according to that definition, that person can be my children, who I support, right? That definition of pimp can be applied to people who are the landlords, the dry cleaners. So when you see these terms being used in a derogatory way to disparage a whole class of workers, it's really, you know, what the sex-negative, shame-based national movement is interested in doing, because and in turn they derive financial benefit from doing so. They pander to the public, they pander and incite all the moral panic and promote all this rhetoric that is not based in any fact. And certainly the fact that this survey that was discussed extensively on KPFA and the survey that's discussed extensively in the San Francisco Chronicle has not even been released to the general public. We don't know if it's been subjected to peer review. We don't know if it's based on any credible data. So, you know, it's just really irresponsible reporting by those institutions, you know, KPFA and the San Francisco Chronicle's part, to even have showcased that information that's not even valid.
Well, no researcher. I do not have his name in front of me. I am remiss in not getting the male researcher. Do you know his name? I did not catch his name in the KPFA too. So the one who is advocating for the survey, and I noticed as he was being asked questions, his answers tended to be fluid. You know, I think, well, you know, I think there are 15 programs, but there may be some we don't know about, and there might be some that have closed, and we think it's a success. We don't really have any statistics yet, but I'm thinking to myself, this guy's on here. This guy answers questions like Dick Cheney and Bush on weapons of mass destruction. You know, it's just, and all of this is just a democratic process. I mean, Hotel encloses the peace out, even as disc jockey, as a radio announcer is trying to shut her down by trying to crush a democratic effort. I mean, I wish I was out in California. Obviously, I'm not. I'm here in Raleigh-Durham. But you and others in California are trying to get a ballot initiative.
Yep.
To get on the ballot, and they are trying very hard to subvert that democratic process, you know, in the name of protecting the public from you know, alleged human traffickers, and it's just garbage.
It's all completely garbage. And, you know, some of the flack I received from writing the petition initiative the way I did was, you know, some of the criticism was, and the criticism was from inside the sex worker rights movement, is that, you know, I should have just talked about decriminalizing prostitution instead of including the piece about, you know, making it unlawful to have the city run a first offender prostitution program and to talk about the trafficking and make it so that the police department can't get any more federal money under the guise of racially profiling, sex traffic victims, when really what they're doing is they're just enforcing the anti-prostitution laws in a racial way on all the Asian massage parlor workers. And, you know, my argument was that, look, you know, we need to expose this whole range of corruption that is going on inside our sex industry right here in our city. You know, some of the criticism I received the other day was from, you know, why, you know, that the district attorney is put, you know, people were concerned about her feelings, the district attorney Kamala Harris' feelings, and how she might feel being called a crony of the dance club workers in our, in our initiative. And I said, well, it's nothing personal against her. It's how the institution of the district attorney's office is being employed here to become cronies with the dance club workers with their unequal enforcement of the prostitution laws and their arbitrary enforcement of the other laws. And, you know, that's the point about which we have corruption in our society, and that's the point at which, you know, we become undemocratic. It's that's the point where we become, a party, you know, to our own oppressors. Is to, you know, we have to call out those hypocrisies. It's important to do that and to be able to demonstrate the whole system of hypocrisy and the whole system of cronyism that's going on. And you can see those agreements on the documentation site, on the ESPU site. You can see the memo of understanding between the police department and the San Francisco District Attorney's Office that the police get to get paid time and a half to run those 8 sting operations a year to make sure that there are enough participants to be trafficked into the first offender prostitution program that SAGE holds. And that's one of the things that we want to expose, especially in light of the $200 million budget shortfall we have in San Francisco this year. We want to make sure that we have government who are really doing the work of the people and not doing the work of some special interest, sex-negative, shame-based nonprofit that figured out a scheme to defraud the taxpayers under which the services that they provide so that they can get their salaries paid. You know, we know that the whole gist over at the SAGE Project is to recruit women into their sex-negative, shame-based, man-hating agenda so that they and those who come on board with that thinking are the ones who get paid, are the ones that become actual workers at the SAGE Project. And that's really what they're, that they're about is creating those, that kind of classism and working that kind of inner oppression in their favor. And I just find it, hideous that on their SAGE's website they talk about the SAGE Project being a form of restorative justice. Now, restorative justice generally means that the victims get to have a say or some sort of input about how they want justice to be applied in their particular situation and the way that they were victimized. But the ironic piece here is that both workers and our customers are being arrested. And the workers who want to identify as victims because they work as prostitutes are the ones who are supposedly receiving benefit from the SAGE Project, but the way that they're receiving benefit is that they get hired by the SAGE Project to work there to promote that shame-based, sex-negative system of thinking, but they really don't, it's not restorative justice. They usurp the, this is one of the things that the Bush administration is notorious for in promoting their fascism, is they redefine words to mean what they want it to mean so that they can be seen in the public light as being the do-gooders, when in fact they are not the do-gooders. They are the profiteers. They are the war profiteers, and they're the profiteers off of the criminalized labor of prostitutes and our customers.
And clearly, if the initiative passed, which would decriminalize prostitution, that would be the end of the gravy train.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. And, you know, we focus on educating people about the First Offender Prostitution Program. And, you know, and I think it's very important to do so, that we don't have taxpayers involved in the systematic extortion that demands that people waive their civil rights. You know, I know that, you know, Hillary Clinton is running for president, but she voted for the Patriot Act. She voted to strip away Americans of their civil liberties. And right now before Congress, there is that other horrible piece of legislation, House Bill 3887. And House Bill 3887 is another extension of the First Offender Prostitution Program that wants to make all people that cross borders to perform or to receive sexual services federal felons, eligible for 10 years in prison. And this is not the best use of our resources. This is a violation of worker rights and further criminalizing workers to make it so that the sex-negative, shame-based program, like the First Offender Prostitution Program, that operates at the citywide level in San Francisco, can become a national program where all kinds of people, you know, will be forced to, you know, go through these shame-based, sex-negative programs so that the federal government can profit off the criminalization of prostitution.
If this legislation passes, it strikes me that, you know, it turns the SAGE project into McDonald's. You literally have, you know, first offender, you know, the FOPP, you might as well call it Nick FOPP, you know. And someone crossed the border into Nevada to work in the legal brothel, which granted, I'm not a fan of the legal brothels, but to use that as an example, would that, in fact, put them in violation also because they crossed the border? So am I understanding that correctly?
Can you say that last part one more time? I'm still having a lot of difficulty understanding you, Jill.
My question was, so if I understand the House bill correctly, if somebody crosses the border into, say, Nevada, for the purpose of being a sex worker, that makes them a federal felon.
Yeah, exactly. It doesn't, you know, this House Bill 3887 has this fabulous title about being against child soldiering, which everybody is against. You know, everybody is against forced labor of any kind. Everybody is against those things. The question is, you know, what is the effective means of supporting workers instead of fighting, you know, the idea of forced labor? And the way you do that is by bringing people rights and in enfranchising people into systems of equality that already exist and enforcing those systems of quality that are supposedly already existing instead of concocting these laws that have these great titles like House Bill 3887, but it's got this huge piece in there about sexual tourism. And I just have to, you know, laugh at that this is this whole propaganda piece on sexual tourism, when the truth is that because of all the raids and all the stigma that's being attached to people who cross borders in order to work and people who are forced to cross borders through the multinational welfare that strips local people of their indigenous agricultural rights and are now forced to get money somehow. And we're seeing that right now with the food shortage going on, where farmers who have always maintained a subsistence lifestyle or who've been able to grow enough crop for rice and other staples to be able to sustain themselves, you know, we see that they are no longer to do that, and they're being forced to go get money in order to survive. They're forced to migrate overseas into other countries, and there's no protection for that whole class of workers who migrate for work. There's no equal protection under the law for a worker if you're working in the agricultural industry or you're working in the sex industry, because you're forced to be in the underground, you're forced to lie about who you are. And that's the other important element about the petition in San Francisco, is that we're demanding equal protection under the law. We're demanding that instead the district attorney be turning their sights on how it is that they are going to vigorously investigate and enforce laws against workers, and not only sex industry workers, but all workers, but especially sex industry workers who have been victims of coercion, who've been victims of rape, of theft, and of battery. And we haven't seen our district attorney office really enforce, vigorously investigate and enforce those laws when we have been actual victims. And that's why it's so important to get the petition passed in San Francisco, to get it before the voters and to get it passed. If we can free San Francisco, we can free the state of California, we can free the nation, and we can free the world. And how it is that we are going to bring equal protection under the law and enfranchise workers and bring workers' rights instead of continuing the criminalization of a class of workers and to continue to profit off that criminalization of migration and profit off the criminalization of sex work. And that's what people really want to be hearing about, is about how we can be a part of the solution and promoting the first offender prostitution program and arresting our customers and trafficking our customers into this shame-based sex-negative program where this fake survey is saying, oh, but the customers liked being in the program. They liked hearing all the sex-negative, shame-based propaganda, and they paid for the privilege. It's just not believable. It's just not a believable story, and that's why they're having to manufacture all this media and all this propaganda to support their negative position. But we have an opportunity to fight back. You know, we have the ground campaign on the streets that are out there collecting signatures every day to help qualify the initiative. We encourage people to go to our website and read the initiative. Everybody can participate in this campaign, whether you are a San Francisco voter or not. Everybody can participate through contributing the resources, contributing their talent and their skills to help this campaign to be able to fight back against the suppression of the criminalization of prostitution and the profiteering off the criminalization of prostitution.
Now, I just received an email, ironically through Swati's email, from someone named Tracy, who has advised me to advise you that she is trying very hard to get Norma Hotelin to call into the show, and to warn you to be prepared to face reality. Well, Norma, you have 12 minutes to call in. That's all the time we have. But let me give you that number, 646-200-3136. 646-200-3136. I certainly am ready to face reality myself. Getting this way, I think. Good luck. This is XBN, Swati's Podcast Network. We are powered by Blog Talk Radio. You know, Maxine, thinking about some of the logic of the absurdity of the logic of the first offender program, and you know, it almost rings to me like you know, the ultra-conservatives who talk about wanting to fight terrorism by building a fence along the Mexican border. Without ever giving any thought to the fact that the terrorists from 9/11 came into Canada.
Well, you know, what was so interesting, I think, in some of the cases that were litigated at the national level, the prostitution cases, they used Osama bin Laden's name in some of the filings of those papers that... it was so sensationalistic to try to justify the fact that our federal government was spending time wiretapping prostitution services and businesses instead of you know, looking out how it was that, you know, there was a plot going on to cause mass destruction in the United States. So, you know, the federal government continues to try to use and link, you know, prostitution to, you know, these terrorist acts, you know, irregardless of who committed them. I mean, prostitution is all about bringing, you know, love and ecstasy into the world, you know, on a physical level. And then, but we're being, you know, demonized and linked to these fascist acts, irregardless of who committed them. And, you know, that's how it is that they promote their shame-based, sex-negative agenda is by, you know, conflating everybody with all these negative terms, defining these negative terms, and then subjecting everybody to it. And, you know, if you want to, you know, and that's why they're doing all this name-calling instead of really addressing the issues here, and they're not being made to address the issues. They're not being made to answer the hard questions about how much money they're making off the criminalization of prostitution. And, you know, do the taxpayers want to continue, you know, to be involved in that? And so I think one of the education pieces that we do as labor rights organizers in the sex industry is we always talk about who is our boss. You know, who really are the bosses in the sex industry? Because really it's the actual worker that is the one who contracts with support staff services for answering the phone, for being a driver, for providing a place. And it's the worker who receives the actual money and does the distribution of the money. And those are some of the things that we talk about in labor organizing is the point of collection and distribution of the services and of the product. And it's always the actual worker who has control over those things. And those are some of the things that we want to expose because we have seen these successful campaigns that have been waged for the last 100 years, at least in the United States, that promote these ideas that there are unscrupulous business people that force people into these certain labor conditions and then extort money off of them. When the truth is that it's actually the state, through the criminalization of prostitution laws, who's doing the extortion of money. It's the state and the extension of the prison industrial complex of these nonprofits who are involved in stripping people, coercing people of their civil rights, and coercing them under the threat of being exposed for being involved in sex and being involved in prostitution kind of sex. And, you know, I think the Democrats can make it back into the White House here, but, you know, they're going to really need to seriously look at decriminalizing prostitution in order to stay there. Because over and over again, we see politicians and we see people involved in government who are being targets of sexploitation, of being targets of having their sex, you know, preferences and the way that they have sex as a means of extortion to force them from power, to force them from being involved in office. And, you know, that's not the kind of society that we really want to be involved in. Because when you start conflating, you know, who really are the bad people, it's usually the people who are calling out the bad people who are actually trying to hide their own flaws and their own kinds of lack of transparency. And in this case, the SAGE Project is trying to hide the fact that they're extorting all this money from the taxpayers in San Francisco.
Of course, it's a money-making machine. And, you know, I find it ironic that the only candidate that I've found, well, he's not a candidate, I shouldn't say candidate. The only political representative that I've found within recent memory who actually advocated for removing criminalization of prostitution was Jesse Ventura. And he was so vilified for that. You know, Minnesota, not only did he advocate for that, but he just said, you know, when he was in the Marines, or the Navy, I think, excuse me, Navy SEAL, that he used prostitutes, the services of prostitutes, and everybody was just all aghast at that, you know, and his response to it was you know, he doesn't now that the choice that he makes now because he's made it all up to his wife, but he takes it seriously. And you know, nobody else will even take, you know, the steps that Ventura took. And ironically, Ventura moved to Mexico, but he left the U.S. entirely. But, you know, I think of all these politicians that find themselves in trouble over sexual acts, and if they just came clean with things and supported decriminalization, but then the only person they'd be facing, you know, was their spouse.
Well, I think this is really the situation that has been created through these sex-negative, shame-based laws for 100 years, is that, you know, they really demonize people for enjoying sex. They really demonize people who have sex outside of the heterosexual marriage. And I just find it so interesting, Jill, that right now in the news, you know, we have two big religious and sex fiascos going on here in the United States. You know, we have the Pope here right now who's talking to people who were victims, who were real victims, child victims of pedophilia that was going on in the church, and that the church knew about it and enabled that kind of immoral behavior to continue amongst its own membership. And then we have this other situation of religion. People took away 400-plus children from their parents without even an evidentiary hearing. So we have one group of religious sect people going after another group of religious sect people. And, you know, it's this whole business of demonizing people in order to make this other group of religious people, fanatic people, look good and look like the do-gooders, when really they're violating people's human, civil, and labor rights all over the place, and they're not being accountable. You know, our government is not being held to any sort of standard of accountability, and that's, you know, it's a really chaotic place to be in right now, but we have to stand steady and continue to promote what we know to be the right solution here, not only for this particular class of workers and our customers, but for the whole nation, to bring some sanity back to civil liberties and what the United States of America stands for, and to stop these this injustice that we are seeing of the police state, the militarization that's going on right in our own backyards, of criminalizing whole groups of people. And we see that militarization and that criminality being exported across the United States borders, you know, over in Iraq, and the illegal occupation of Iraq. And we just want to be able to stop that violence in our own backyard, because being arrested in your own backyard for sex is a violent act on behalf of the state. And we have to do what we can, and we all can do something to help bring protection, equal protection under the law to sex workers, and to stop the criminality of having sex. I just find it so ironic that never has the SAGE Project ever been accountable about helping workers who had reports of violence against them make those reports to the police, especially when the police themselves were the perpetrators of those violence. And so those are some of the hard questions that the SAGE Project is going to have to answer to, because the public in San Francisco wants to know. The electorate in San Francisco is extremely politically savvy. And when we are going to, you know, we need help with gaining access to the media and gaining access to the registered voters to be able to expose this hypocrisy so that the voters can put an end to it.
We are just about out of time. As my audio producer has shouted in my ear, we are down to 55 seconds. My guest has been Maxine Deegan. Maxine, where can people find your website?
Our website is online at espu-ca.org, the Erotic Service Providers Union.
Maxine, I would like to thank you for joining us once again here on XBN. As always, it's been a very informative show. Tomorrow's guest, Renegade Evolution, she's going to discuss She was on a panel along with myself in Williamsburg, Virginia, at the College of William and Mary. A panel discussion on issues such as we're discussing today. This is XXBN, XXBN.net, Raleigh Durham Chapel, Louisville, service of Swappies Media.
Thank you.
Thank you.